Okay, we welcome you in as March Madness. Yes, I said March quickly approaches and the seedings begin to crystallize. I'm Patrick Maher live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. We welcome you in. Good morning. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi with the gear on. I can't believe so. We're quickly getting to March here as March approaches, Michael Lombardi.
Yeah. We're getting March Madness, and you got your brackets you've been studying? Are you ready to go?
Well, I'm very social, so it's been hard to get the studying in, but I have found an opportunity to sit around and look at some numbers. Yes, how about you?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure it's probably – well, no, I've been looking at it. Yeah, sure, I've been studying it and trying to find these small market teams. Didn't have a good day yesterday, but we'll bounce back. You know, we'll see if we can find a few winners today. We're working on it.
Yeah,
got a game plan.
The Carusos. Don't worry, because the Carusos had been red hot. You're always due for a bit of a
but
regression.
We had a typical Caruso day. I put the headband on. I mean, well, you know, I forgot to check out. What did my man do last night? I know it was a big win for the Lakers.
That's right.
You know, I know that was a big win for him. You know, you can't always bet against LeBron too many times in a row, right? I think that's probably – I was just telling Thomas Gable and Brian and Pat here today, it's just so hard. The NBA is just so hard to predict. It's unpredictable. It's predictably unpredictable, isn't it?
It is. Caruso had 10. We should start there really quickly here. The Lakers end a four-game skid last night. They were laying 5.
Plus 11, too, Patrick. Plus 11.
Yeah, 100%. Lakers 102-93 winners, so they do cover the 5. A good second half. Defensively, I thought they were really good. I was watching this game. Obviously, stays under the 223. That's a big-time under team in the Lakers there. You see them 13-21 to the under this year. I should say 21-13 to the under. But a good little bounce back. LeBron was awesome in that game as well.
Yeah, I mean, they hold Portland to under 40 points in the second half. That's pretty impressive, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they didn't score 20 points in either quarter. So their defense, and when you consider that they only shot 26% from the three-point line, you know, they needed good defense to come through, and I think ultimately that's what happened. Portland's a frustrating team because you want to just write them off, and then they bounce back with a couple wins, and then they kind of go back into the doldrums again, and they settle, and, you know, it's kind of you keep waiting for them to – declare who they really are, and once they get CJ McCollum back, maybe we'll have a better idea.
Well, you just nailed it. I mean, they're 4 games above 500. They've actually been doing a good job. They're 17-15 ATS, or a little bit of an over team. But interesting with the Blazers, also Nurkic, Michael. They're big. They haven't had him yet either. So when they get them back, they could become a little bit of a dangerous team.
Nor Zach Collins. I mean, you know that Zach Collins kid. They have such high hopes for him. The Gonzaga freshman that came out. You know, they think he's got a chance to come back. So. You know, there are three key players for them that they're not playing with.
We discussed it yesterday. Always look at those last minute who's in, who's out. Schroeder makes a world of difference. 22 points. Yeah. He played 31 minutes. That's the difference for the Lakers, right, wait for AD.
Yeah, I think that's the key right there. I mean, if you're going to bet against the Lakers, bet when he's not in the game. Don't bet when he's in the game.
Yeah, Schroeder was great. 31 minutes, 6 of 14 from the field, of course, helping LeBron. LeBron was ridiculous. 28 points, 11 boards, 7 assists, just 2 turnovers. So a big bounce back 4-game skid ended by the Lakers. Plenty to do as we just get started here on the Lombardi Line. 118 in college basketball, 7 on the wood, 14 on the ice. But first, Mike Sinnott with an action update.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Nearer to the All-Star break in the NBA season, the odds to win the Atlantic Division belong to the Brooklyn Nets at minus 200, Philadelphia plus 190, Toronto plus 2,000. The Central Division, Milwaukee minus 2,500, Indiana plus 850, the Chicago Bulls plus 3,300. The Dallas Mavericks are the favorites to win the Southwest Division at minus 130, San Antonio plus 260, New Orleans plus 700. The Northwest Division, the Utah Jazz minus 5,000, Denver plus 1,400, Portland plus 1,600. The Pacific Division, the Clippers are favored there, minus 130, the Lakers plus 140, Phoenix Suns at plus 800. The Southeast Division, the Miami Heat, the defending Eastern Conference champs, minus 185, Atlanta plus 375. The favorites to win the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn plus 125, Milwaukee plus 330, Philadelphia plus 550. The West, the Lakers plus 140, Clippers plus 280, the Jazz at plus 350. The Lakers are the favorites to win it all at plus 280.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
All right, from Des Moines to New England to New Jersey to Las Vegas, we welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line. Happy Saturday. Hope you're doing well as we continue to get closer and closer to March Madness. Mention, we'll get some crystallization as far as the field's concerned, who's in, who's out. Colorado State's going to play tonight. They haven't played in 3 weeks. They're on the bubble, so we'll get to them coming up in just a little bit. Big 10 and Big 12 really on display today. Early, noon your time if you're on the East, 9 my time over here on the West. Michigan, Indiana's going to play. Texas Tech, that's a Big 12 tilt, 14-18 matchup. You got Illinois, Wisconsin, Baylor, Kansas later tonight, Michael Lombardi. You know what? I'm laughing because one of my favorite characters, it's not Caruso, it's sandbagging Michael Lombardi. And as I look here, I look and I see the Cavs in Philly tonight. So what does that mean?
Already talked about that. What's that line, 13.5? You're not going to lay that, are you?
That means you, your boy Billy Berman, happy birthday, Bill, and the casual tux today will be taking the points with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Actually, it's just 10.5 right now. There you see it. The Cavs in Philly tonight. The Cavs catching 10.5, 222.5 as far as the total.
You know, that's a hard one for me. My instincts tell me they'll probably play good tonight. You know, this is a team that they should beat up on and they should dominate. And that number indicates that you think it's Simmons and Embiid will both be playing. Coming off of a game, you know, where they had a lot of rest against the Thursday night against the Mavericks. They didn't play over 30 minutes, either of them, because they had that game blown out. So this is be an interesting one. They should dominate this game. They should. But every time they pull me in, I want to be pulled back out. I have no confidence in this one at all.
Well, your boy Tobias is going to be out. But Cleveland, break up the Cavs.
What's wrong with Tobias? I didn't know that. What's wrong with him?
Remember, he exited the game in the third, and it looks like he's still going to continue to be held out tonight. I'll give you a further, more comprehensive report. But right here on my report, looks like Tobias is out. And here comes the Cavs, who all of a sudden, remember, we had high hopes for the Cavs early in the season when they were actually playing quite well with the two guards. I know. But listen, hey, they're on a heater. They've won two straight. They beat Houston and Atlanta coming into this matchup. So here we go. Cavs only catching 10.5. You'd assume 13, like you said.
Yeah, I would have thought it was going to be a little bit higher. Boy, Cleveland's numbers are so bad. I mean, you can't get worse numbers. I mean, they're 27th in field goal percentage this year. They're 30th in offense, you know, and, you know, defensively, they're 27th in field goal. I mean, you know, what's that over under, 222.5? I would be inclined to think that over could be in play here, Patrick. I really do.
Your boy Tobias, he's going to miss the game with the bruised knee. I will say, I mean, it's been quite a year for him. It's almost
he's
like
played well.
He's really played well. We were killing him last year as well. Just that awkward lineup they were trying to roll out with Horford and him. Too much size, not enough space. I think Tobias has played very well here.
He must play. Speaking of Horford, did you see that the Thunder last
night? You want to talk about your boys?
They beat the Hawks last night. I mean, you know, it's like, look, I think this Alexander kid, if they would have traded him straight up for Paul George, this guy's really a good player. Wow. They might have won that
Alexander
trade, Patrick.
He is ridiculous.
They might have won that trade. You know, it's that's like one of those sneaky deals in baseball where you trade a minor leaguer that's supposed to be a great player and nobody really knows how well he is. And then the next thing you know, he ends up being in there. Like, how did they trade that guy? Why would they trade that guy?
Well, Sam,
he's really a good player.
I think you nailed it. If Sam Presti, who runs the Thunder, straight up, if he said, all right, I'll give you SGA for Paul George, he may have been happy. Remember, there was a million other pieces involved in that trade that benefited the Thunder. But there you see it, Michael. They close a 5.5-point dog at home. Again, it's just a little team that could. Straight up, they're just 14-19, but they're 18-14-1 ATS. And last night, they beat a Hawks team that actually had been playing pretty well. Gilgeous Alexander scored 24 points coming into this one.
No doubt. And Horford doesn't play in the game, you know, and the Hawks, you know, you look at the Hawks and you say, well, Horford doesn't play. The Hawks should win that game easily and cover. And once again, road team, home favorite on the road, home favorite, the Thunder. I mean, road dog, excuse me. I mean, look at them. I think that's really unbelievable. Trae Young has 17 last night, doesn't shoot very well. They played great defense on me, 7 for 21 from the floor.
100%. By the way, the favorites last night in the association were 7-2 straight up, 7-2 ATS. However, if you're looking to profit this year, you've been betting dogs. The dogs have been hitting at a 51.8% clip ATS. The overs actually at a 51.8% clip as well. The two upsets last night, Michael, and we'll back up to move forward here on a Saturday edition of the Lombardi Line. How about a statement? I don't know if you believe, when you're running teams in statement wins, but this certainly could be a statement win for the Miami Heat. Here comes the Jazz.
No doubt.
The Jazz haven't lost this season. That's not even really hyperbole. They've been unbelievable. The Heat, who struggled early, starting to put together a streak, and you know why they're getting healthy. The only player that
they
didn't see from the finals last night was Tyler Hero, who still sat out, but Bam was great. Dragic was great. Michael Butler was great. They closed a 6-point dog at home, straight up winner on the wood, 124-116 over the Jazz.
Yeah, and Dunn's back too, right? Last year he had a great year as a rookie. He plays 29 minutes last night. He gives them 12 points, you know, and then allows Dragic to be on the bench. I mean, they are really, really becoming, they're starting to gel now. You know, and Butler's playing. Butler, 33 points last night.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I tell you what, Jimmy Butler's a remarkable guy. The way he can come in there, you got double-double. You got 8 assists, 10 rebounds last night. You know, the one thing about the Heat, you're never going to be able to put them away. They are mentally, mentally tough.
100%.
And that's what they showed. And, you know, look, Bam, when they're healthy and when they have everybody back, what's their odds to win the East? What are their odds to win the East? I think, you know, maybe you can get a good number on that right now.
Let's throw this up. We'll grab the East odds for as far as conference. We'll grab the championship odds as far as the Heat. Let's just say a couple things here. One, you mentioned Butler, 33 points, Dragic, 26, Bam, 19 and 11. Robinson, who was great last year. You see the East right there. So the favorites in the East. Good job, JJ. The Nets at plus 150. The Bucks, Michael, who can't defend. I don't care. Trust me, they're on a heater. They can't defend. Plus 260.
Nope.
Your 76ers, I know you don't like the number, 5-1. And then the Heat, 14-1. You know, that's kind of fat for that team that was in the finals last year.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, over the Celtics are better than them. I mean, right now, the way the Heat are playing, I mean, come on, that's a number you should think about taking, 14-1. Because they'll play anybody in the. Now, can they beat the Brooklyn? I don't know, but they'll make it a physical game for Brooklyn. That I will tell you that.
But here's what
they will make it that.
Here's what we know. I mean, they've won 5 straight, right? And this was a team that was absolutely playing horrifically both ends of the court. Last night they out rebound the Jazz 50-36. That's huge. That's toughness. That's starting to get Heat basketball. But if you're the Jazz, it's almost like you're looking for a little kick in the butt here. I mean, that was their third loss in the last 25 games. They're 26-7 straight up. They've been covering everything. So again, if you're just joining us, the bookmakers set a number, and every single night, consistently, the Jazz have exceeded expectations. And last night, by the way, I was looking up at some numbers, crunching a little bit, Michael. Did you know that the Jazz have hit 559 threes this year through 33 games? That's a record all time. As a matter of fact, it would be a record through 35 games. So you see Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles is shooting 48, 46% from three.
Yeah.
This is a team that really doesn't do anything poorly in the Jazz.
No, and that's what makes them so effective. And then when you add their e-field goal percentage, which is if you go to cleaning the glass and you look at those numbers, and you can see the teams that are really good at combining their field goal percentage along with their three-point percentage. And the Utah Jazz are fourth in that area. Brooklyn's one, the Clippers are two, Milwaukee's three, Utah's four. So, you know, they are shooting the ball from everywhere on the court effectively. But as you said, that three-point line and the way they play Gobert in the middle and they've got four shooters around them, it's hard to defend him when they're on their game, which, you know, last night obviously they weren't, but they're allowed to have one of those missteps because typically they haven't had one at all this year.
We say what's up to our friends in Chicago in the Midwest, Marquee Sports Network here on the Lombardi Line. Also say what's up to everybody there in New England. Stay warm. And for those of you up watching on NESN, has there been a Kemba Walker sighting, Michael Lombardi? Is Kemba Walker back in the house here? Because last night he saved the team. Tatum and Brown weren't effective last night. The win for the Celtics, they beat the Pacers 118-112. We'll throw it up here. But Kemba, How about this? 32.6 dimes for a much maligned point guard there. There you see the Celtics end up closing 2.5. That number came down just a tick. They cover, and it goes over the posted total of 219. But again, the big story here was Kemba Walker, who has been getting crushed this year. A season-high 32 points to help the Celtics snap a three-game losing streak, Michael.
I think a lot of it with Kemba Walker is rest. I think his body is Will Hill talked about, you know, 3 years in college, plays a lot of minutes. I think we know he's got the knee issue. I think a lot of it, when he's feeling right, he can still do it. The problem is that you're going to see those spikes and down, because he doesn't do it all the time. And so, you know, but I'm still not sold on this team. No. I mean, I'm really not. I mean, they played well last night. They played well defensively. They hold Indiana to under 40% field goal percentage. They held Indiana to 32.6% from the three-point line, so they defended well, you know, but and they won this game without Brown or Tom or Tatum having a big day. It was all Kemba, and they get some production out of their bench. It's Robert Williams the third, the kid from Texas A&M, comes off the bench. He gives them 22 solid minutes. He gives them 11 rebounds. So, you know, they've got some things, but, you know, I'm still not sold that it's all going to come together, because I think Walker's dependent upon his health. How well does he feel? How is that knee?
And you mentioned the big two. You know, it's interesting. We were just talking about the Jazz. So you take a look at, you know, the adage would be in the NBA, you need two superstars and a very good third complementary piece, right? You've got James and AD in Los Angeles. Of course, Kawhi, Paul George in Los Angeles, Michael. And then you've got the two youngsters with Jaylen Brown and Tatum in Boston. Those two don't add up. I know, Boston, that's going to make you bitter when I say that. They don't add up. But you know what? I'm getting 0-4 Pistons vibes from this Utah team, if we could back up for a second. They don't really have a superstar. You could put Spider Mitchell in the mix, and Gobert is wonderful as far as rim protection. But they remind me of, remember Chauncey and Rip,
yeah,
and Tayshaun and Ben Wallace. That was a Rasheed Wallace. That was a team that beat Kobe, Shaq, Gary Payton, Karl Malone. They didn't have a superstar, but they played well as a team.
And they, you know, I think part of it too is they knew who they were. And I think that's what Utah is. Utah
identity.
Does know who they are. They play their style. And if you can beat them at their style, then God bless you. But they're not going to change what they do. And the way they built this team and how well they're shooting, you know, that to me is the critical component. I mean, that three-point line extends for them, which makes Gobert, you know, where they're not trying to run plays and trying to do things for him, because offensively he's better in that set.
Let's throw up the West. Good job by Michael with the East. Let's throw up the West. We'll see where the Jazz sit, because I'm starting to, you know, that becomes the question. The predominant question is, are they legit this year? You see it there, Michael. Obviously, the Lakers close to even money there to come out of the West. The Clippers plus 250, your second betting favorites. Now, two nights ago, it was 5.5-1 on the Jazz. That shrunk a little bit. It's 4.5-1. That feels like a fair number.
Yeah, you know, it does. And look, are the Suns really 18-1?
That's a good price on that team.
I mean, that's a really good price for how well they've played. I mean, you know, they have one of the best scorers in all the league, and, you know, he can score at will. You know, Paul does what he needs to do to play within the system. He got 14 last night. I mean, you could say, well, they beat Chicago in Chicago. Hey, look, Chicago, we know when Chicago's a dog, even as a home dog, they're tough to play. And I think that Phoenix is an interesting team to play. And they can get hot. Now, can they win 7 games? I don't know against the Lakers, but I think they're going to give somebody a run for their money. There's no doubt.
I think you're right. I mean, the Suns at 18-1, I'm looking at it. Again, going into last night, the Bulls, we joke about this here on the Lombardi Line. Josh gets in with us. They were 14-7 as dogs. They don't cover as dogs last night. A 106-97 win for the Suns in Chicago. This number closed 6.5, so the Suns do cover as favorites. The Bulls did lead 87-80 going into the fourth, so a nice little fourth quarter. I thought Ayton, I watched this game, Ayton defensively, Michael, was
good. He was good last night.
They have all the components. You know, it's not like an 18-1.
That's what I'm saying. And they have a bench. I mean, they do have a bench.
Yeah, Kaminsky
was great.
When
they go to their bench with Johnson and Moore. You know, they get production out of their bench. I mean, they have a better bench than like Philly would have. I mean, they beat Philly because of their bench when they played them out there.
I think you're right. And Kaminsky had 15 off the bench last night. And as much as we hate to give him credit, because, you know, our boy Chris Paul, Paul had 14 points. He had 15 dimes and six boards last night. He was good.
It's the perfect role for him. He really is in the right role. He doesn't have to carry anybody. He just has to distribute and get the team. I think he's a little bit like he builds the team around what he needs to do, and he's kind of giving them some maturity, what I think like Ayton and those players, they needed there.
100% basketball, hockey. We were talking about it, Michael, the association. Get into it at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options. You go in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, much more. Here's the deal. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring your state-issued ID. You're going to be betting within minutes. Every day, whatever your style, visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older. Located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. You know, you talked about Kemba getting into shape. Do you have any advice for him? Because as Bill Berman told me yesterday, and we've seen it visually there, you, my man, are cutting it right now. You're
no,
P90Xing, your yoga, downward dog.
Yeah, right.
What's going on with you over there?
yoga, yeah. Yeah, I'm a yoga guy. Yeah, I yoga every morning at 4:30. That's what I'm doing, Patrick. Yeah, right.
Yes, you're getting laughs from in here. What is your – do you like the crow pose, the downward dog? What's your favorite?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I do. I like the hot yoga, too. I'm you know, Millie and I are doing goat yoga now, too. Have you done that?
No, but I can hear you. Millie, let's go. It's time for
let's
yoga.
Let's go goat yoga. Yeah, let's try it. Yeah, why not?
We continue. College hoops coming up next. Big matchups, over 114 games on the hoops hardwood as we continue along. A little yoga theme today here on the Lombardi Line. Racing fan, First Bet, well, it's the place for you. With wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Secure payments, attentive customer service, reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. You can sign up right now and use the promo code Vegas150. Get a $150 match bonus. That's great. It's usually 100, so you get even a bigger match bonus right now. Within the first 30 days. And if you, in the first 25, if you're one of the first 25 to sign up, you'll receive a signed copy of Eddie Olczyk's autobiography. It's pretty cool. First.com/bet/Vegas for details. That's st.com/bet/Vegas. And the promo code is Vegas150. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at South Point. Good morning to you, Michael Lombardi. There he is. You know, he's got his version of the Rat Pack over there. I heard him hanging out with Thomas Gable during the break. He's got Brian Hamilton. That's the crew. You
got
bring BB
here.
In there,
yeah.
And you're good to go.
Yeah, we're really good. We got it all. We just need, you know, we're starting to open up a little bit. People are starting to get vaccinated around here. The casino's getting busier. So hopefully by March Madness, we're going to be here from the 19th through the 21st. We're going to be 22nd, all 4 days of when the tournament begins. So I'm looking forward to it.
We, of course, have our Des Moines plays with Thomas Gable, who runs the race.
He's working on it. He's back in the lab. Yeah, he's back in the lab right now working on it. Yeah, he's working on it. I'm working on mine, too. I'm working, as Bob Seger would say, I'm working on mysteries without any clues here. So I'm working on it. Don't worry.
Hey, also, as he would say, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. Seeger's underrated. Can we just for a second, can you always talk about Springsteen?
Well, you have to love Seeger. Seeger's your Springsteen.
Detroit.
I mean,
that is our Springsteen.
Yeah, I mean, yes. That's right. He's from Detroit. Yeah. I mean, and how about the Eagles special where Seeger and Glenn Frey? I mean, Seeger knew Glenn Frey when he was young. I mean, how about that? How well the worlds just kind of collide? Isn't it remarkable?
Glenn Frey went to the same high school as my pop. Shout to Dad. All right. Now I want to throw something at you. And this is a South Point posted, I believe, yesterday. Maddie Eumanns had it. Good job, VEASAN host, of course, right here at the South Point. So if you see on your board there, Michael, we're starting to get closer and closer to March Madness. Gonzaga, Baylor, yeah. Villanova, a bit of a favorite versus the field. It's essentially 110, 110, so standard juice. That's one. And then you can go Big Ten, a little bit of a dog, plus 140. The Big Ten is so deep, it's unbelievable. Versus the field, the field's a 160 favorite. So those are two props you can play right now here at the South Point as far as the college hoops are concerned.
You know, I have a feeling that that Big Ten, because they played so many good teams back and forth against one another, that I would like that first prop, Gonzaga, Baylor. I would take Villanova out of it, and I put Michigan in. I'm sure I probably wouldn't get very good odds with that either, you know. But I don't know if I want to leave Michigan with Dickinson playing the way he's playing, way they play defense, you know. I mean, I don't know. It'll be a challenge today in Indiana. We know that. I mean, going into Bloomington and playing in that arena, you know, that's not – I know there's no fans there, but that's not an easy thing to do. But Michigan seems to be able to rise to the challenge when they go to Wisconsin or, you know, anywhere. So, you know, I like this Michigan ball club. I really do. I am not in love – when I look at that Big Ten odd, I'm not in love with Iowa because I think the makeup of what wins in the tournament, Iowa doesn't have.
100%.
So that's what worries me about that.
But if you look at the Big Ten, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, Iowa, you know, Wisconsin, I'm not huge on just because their offense is a bit anemic. But you look at that, that's four of the top seven, eight teams in college hoops right now. Let's throw up the number. This is an Indiana team that's looked pathetic as of late, and they're losing out on their opportunities to get into the tournament here. Maybe a conference tournament win could get them in, obviously, that would with an auto bid. But you mentioned Michigan's won six in a row, including recent back-to-back wins over ranked teams. Michigan today in Bloomington, laying nine on the road. Here's the thing about Michigan. It's not just Dickinson and Levers. They go seven deep. They can do everything well. Offensively, they're efficient. Defensively, they're efficient. Maybe turn the ball over more than you'd like. But Juwan Howard's team is efficient, both ends.
Yeah, no doubt. And here's where I think they really are good, right? So Indiana is one of the worst teams in the Big Ten on defense. And when you play on the road against a team that doesn't have great defense, that makes you so much that takes away the home field advantage, because what usually starts runs, you know, your offense, they get stops and it starts the runs, and all of a sudden you can't get control of the game. Whereas when you're playing against a bad defensive team like Indiana, the game's never going to get away from you because there's never going to be those runs, right? There's never going to be those runs where you, oh my God. And I think that's the biggest problem. Michigan, you know, Michigan is the best defense in the Big Ten. Yep. How do you not love Michigan?
Hunter, and those bigs won't be able to stop Dickinson. The one thing about Michigan is they're, you know, top 20 shooting inside the arc, outside the arc, and Indiana can't score the basketball. This is a mismatch today. We'll get a thought from Josh Applebaum and more as we continue along. Just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. Weekend, you're chilling, it's cold. Become a smarter and more sophisticated better. We're gonna help you, and it's all for under $50. It's $49.99 right now. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. It's VP50. Okay, so VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got the best handicappers in the business. Here's what we're gonna do. Every day we're gonna send you free picks, and throughout the day, you're gonna keep getting updated picks. But with that, you're going to get resources and tools to help you make your own picks. Power Rankings, Point Spread Weekly, which is our Bible here. It's all for under $50. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back here on a Saturday, we say good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Hope you're doing well. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSIN studios here at the South Point. Got Book, JJ, got the crew, Brian Hamilton out in Jersey with Michael Lombardi. And here comes Mr. Market Insights himself. He generally has an attitude, hopefully not this early on a Saturday. It is Josh Applebaum, the Lumberjack, Des Moines, Iowa. Market Insights is the podcast. You can find it at vsin.com/podcast for free. It's a great pod. We kid with Josh because we love him. Josh. Good morning. I guess some money right now. on Indiana, which is they're a horrific mismatch for this Michigan team. However, where are we sitting? First off, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. Happy Saturday. Big weekend ahead here. But, Patrick, you're right. We got a lot of games to hit on. But this one's interesting because it's a noon game, so it's coming up quick here, only about an hour and a half away. And as of right now, it's the most heavily bet game of the day. And what we're seeing with Michigan, they've been amazing. They're 17-1. They're ranked third in the country. They've won six straight. I mean, they're beating ranked teams like it's nothing. Iowa, Ohio State recently. Now they're going to Indiana. And Indiana, 12-11, lost 3 of 4. They're struggling here. And you say, give me Michigan all day here laying this number. But this line, you know, it was 9. It was 8. It's actually all the way down now, guys, to 7.5. So Even though you're seeing, this is crazy. You're seeing a lot of money come in Indiana with the Hoosiers. You know, I think when you think about Michigan, they're never going to be more overvalued than they are right now, winning all these games, covering all these games. So maybe they roll here and win by 15, but the fact that heavy betting Michigan, the most public play today, yet the Lions moving to the Hoosiers, maybe the Hoosiers battle here. But Michael, what do you think? Indiana, are they undervalued? Michigan looks great, but any reason to maybe think about grabbing the points here?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we know Michigan's a little bit overvalued, and this is the custard game for Indiana, right? I mean, this is their last stand. This is, and so you're basically, you're saying that line should be 7.5, and the value is really at 9. So I got to take Indiana and lay the points because they've got to play with reckless abandon. This is the custard game, and whenever you can get a custard game on an overvalue, put that one in your glossary. You know, the reverse contrarian to the contrarian. You know, the glossary, we have all those. This is a custard game with a 1.5 line move. I think you got to take it.
Yeah, they got Rutgers beat them. Indiana.
Miller. I mean, Archie Miller could lose his job after. I mean, look, he got hired by. He got, you know, the new AD came in, fired Crean after they had won, went to a Sweet 16. It's a remember when school, and these remember when schools do not think rationally. They think they should be competing for national titles every year. Indiana. I mean, for them not to be a powerhouse in the Big Ten, it hurts the Big Ten. It really does.
100%.
And so this is a last chance. This is a custard game. This is the last chance.
Too much talent for that team not to be better. It goes down markedly, his buyout, after next season, so I think he's going to get one more year. Archie, the Miller brothers, though, just completely overrated. His brother Sean hasn't done what he should do at Arizona. I digress. We're going to get a Caruso play quickly. Texas Tech, let's go through this quickly on the number, because that's also a 9 tip my time, noon Michael's time and your time there. 14-18 matchup, Texas at Texas Tech. Josh.
Yeah, real quick here, guys. This is a kind of a sharp play here toward Texas Tech. What you're seeing is Texas is ranked higher. They've won 3 of 4. They just had a big win over Kansas. Texas Tech, we love Chris Beard, but they're struggling here. They've lost 3 straight to Oklahoma State, Kansas, West Virginia. The funny thing here is that, you know, Texas Tech is quote-unquote the worst-ranked team, 18 versus 14, but yet Texas Tech opened as a 3-point favorite. So right off the bat, that kind of speaks volume to me. You know, they're not playing as well as Texas, yet they open as a favorite. And here's the kicker, guys. The public is saying, give me the points with Texas, yet this line is moving toward Texas Tech, -3 to -3.5. So looks like some money coming in on the Red Raiders. You do have Texas Tech one-day rest advantage. Last played on Monday versus Tuesday for Texas. And then also, you look at kind of what you're banking on for Texas Tech to get this done here. You're looking for their defense to play well. They're both averaging about 75 a game, but really that defense, only giving up 63 with the Red Raiders, 69 for Texas. So, Michael, I know you've been looking at the Red Raiders recently. They have not been coming through, but are we sleeping on them? Are they due to bounce back? Does this kind of, you know, make you open your eyes? Why are they favored, and why is line moving toward them?
Well, I think they're favored because they won in Austin, you know, back in the middle of January by 2 points. And, you know, everybody, I think, looks at the last 3 games and said, well, you haven't played well. You know, you lose to West Virginia, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. Those are 3 good teams, you know, and they've got to get it going again. They've got to get it back. And I think that ultimately this is, for lack of a better term, I mean, they've got to win this one. This is the one where I think Chris Beard puts a lot of pressure. This is their custard moment because then they go TCU, Iowa State, they end the year at Baylor. So, you know, we know they've got to win the next 3. They want to keep they're going to make the tourney. But I think this is one of those where Chris Beard as a coach really puts the pressure on the players, and I think that's why you're seeing it.
Give me the points. Are you kidding me? The Longhorns off a huge home win over the Jayhawks. Also, Texas has revenge on my mind. Is that Willie Nelson? You sleep, Michael Lombardi. The Texas Tech defense has not been good in the Big 12. as it has been in its non-conference
schedule. Not typically,
schedule.
No.
And it really hasn't. Yeah. And
Beard's
been having meltdowns. I do like a good college basketball coach meltdown, and Beard had a tremendous one recently against West Virginia. I'll take the points with Texas. I like the way this Texas team is playing, Michael.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, well, look, I think, you know, you got to – When you go back and look at the January 13th game, I mean, the two teams, one team is playing much better than the other, yep. And that's Texas.
there he is. Look at Beard. Look at him. That's your boy. Look, he's on the wood.
But I think my man will really have a lot to say about this. I think this team will know where he sits with this team. This is a little bit like Michigan State last weekend. Where will they sit with this team, and how will they react?
Hey, can we throw up that picture again? Because it reminds me and Michael are so low-key. That reminds me of Josh Applebaum during the breaks. He strikes you as a guy that's chill and like the Dalai Lama, but he should have heard him yelling at Michael, pull yourself together, focus, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm just playing. All right, tease us. We've got 45 seconds. Do you have a Caruso play coming up, Michael?
Yeah, I do have one. You want it now or you
no,
want to
no,
wait until
no.
the next break?
I want
break?
You to wait. Now, here's what I will say. Michael, coming into yesterday, had been 7-2 on his under-the-radar Caruso plays. We took the collar. No big deal. We're still up 7-5, Michael. When you come back, Present it to Mr. Des Moines there, the lumberjack with the plaid on today, and we'll find out. We'll find out if he agrees. We got plenty to do as we continue along. Michael Lombardi, Josh Applebaum, I'm Patrick Maher. Got the crew here on a Saturday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. If you missed anything, go to vsin.com at MLombardiNFL for the best tweets. Of course, come on back. Canelo's fighting tonight. Canelo Alvarez, of course, and you can sign up with BetMGM for a chance to win $100. Place a $1 wager on Canelo Alvarez to win against Yildirim, and just use the bonus code VSIN100. Don't forget to watch on DAZN February 27th. That's coming up at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. BetMGM is the exclusive odds provider of DAZN's U.S. boxing broadcast. New customer offer, paid for and free bets. Got to be 21 years or older, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. Got a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, Tennessee, call or text Redline, 800-889-9789 in Indiana. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. I did that double. We welcome you back. That's 2-for-1 on a Saturday. That's Josh Applebaum. He's laughing. Michael Lombardi, he's hanging. So we should explain what a Caruso play is. Michael Lombardi has a gift for becoming obsessed with things, and then they turn into things. Josh is Des Moines. Alex Caruso wears headbands. Alex Caruso takes off his headband and he throws it. It comes back to you as a winner, like a boomerang. That's become a Caruso play. Michael Lombardi is now an expert on market movement. So he studies the market. He finds under the radar plays, just like Caruso coming out of college. He's under the radar. So the Caruso plays for Michael Lombardi had been 7-2 going into yesterday. We took the collar 0-3, but that's still profit 7-5 ATS. Michael Lombardi, your Caruso play.
Well, today I look at, and one of the things I think that it has to be is these smaller school games. I don't want to go into a big school game where you can't really see. But today, Eastern Michigan is playing Northern Illinois. The line opened up at 3.5. A lot of money has 51% of the tickets, 71% of the money is coming in on Eastern Illinois. I'm going to lay the points at 3.5 and take Eastern Illinois. Then my other one that I like today, Patrick, this is my second play. This is a little bit of a Josh Applebaum special. So Navy is hosting. Hold on here. Let me get it for a second. The Navy midshipmen are hosting Loyola of Maryland. Loyola Maryland's not playing very well this year. They're 4-8. They got a back-to-back with Navy, right? So the line opened up. It opened up minus one. Navy was only a one-point favorite against them. It's coming down. I like Loyola and take the half a point or a point if you can get it.
Okay.
Loyola, Maryland.
Okay. So the first one is Eastern Michigan. So you're going to lay the 3.5 with Eastern Michigan. Yes?
Yeah, and I'm going to take Loyola Maryland and get a point. I think what do we have it? I don't know. We'll see what the graphic is. Loyola Maryland versus Navy.
Okay, Caruso plays. Let's go to Des Moines. Why is it Des Moines?
Because I got one more. Wait a minute. Hey. I got one more for you.
Show, homie.
I got one more for you. I'm going to go to Lehigh. I'm going to go with I want to go with Lehigh and Lafayette over the 150.5.
Love it. Shout to C.J. McCollum.
Shout to Bill Berman. But Bill Berman's been doing research. He's working in the background. That's a Bill Berman special. I'll put it in the Caruso plays over 150.5.
And there he is in his casual tux.
After that meal, he started working on it.
He looks like he was working on a few things in that meal. Now, we go to Des Moines, Iowa by way of New England. Why is it Des Moines? Oh, my gosh, I feel like I need a thesaurus here. It's Des Moines because Michael Lombardi decided that Sharps live in their parents' basement in the Midwest. He decided Des Moines. We find a sweet house that has a little smokestack, and now Josh Applebaum has moved with his girlfriend from New England to Des Moines and live in that house in the basement to find some under-the-radar plays. Okay, we start with Eastern Michigan. Josh, your thoughts on Michael's play?
No, so number one, Patrick, the rent is too damn high, as people say in Boston. So we are actually going to Des Moines.
It's, congratulations.
A lot better property, a lot
you're
better.
You're going to love it out there. It's beautiful. There. So, yeah. Great people in the Midwest.
Great people. They're very nice. So the first one you mentioned, Eastern Illinois?
Eastern Michigan, Northern Illinois.
Okay. Yeah, so that one is interesting to me because you do have this line moving a little bit toward Eastern Michigan. You know, it was 3, 3.5. It's kind of creeping up. A lot of the juice here is actually toward Eastern Michigan laying the points. So I'm with Michael on that one. If you like it, you may want to go to 4. You may want to grab it now before it goes to 4. The one that I like that you really mentioned, Michael, was that Lehigh over. That one, to me, kind of screams a little bit of value. You know, it's 149, 150 around that area. But the one thing I like about these two teams, they're pretty good to the over. So you have 6-4 Lehigh, Lafayette 8-4 to the over. Also pretty quick pace with KenPom, efficiency and pace and pushing the ball up and getting more possessions. But also you have, Lafayette. They've cashed 3 straight overs. You have 3 of the last 4 with Lehigh going over. KenPom has it, I think, right at 150. So you can find, you know, a little bit 149.5, 148. I'm with you, Michael. And I love the premise. And Patrick, we created a monster because Michael is killing these small school games. I love it.
He is.
I think it's got to be small school. I really do. I think you got to be able to find a variance in the market because these sharps are too good at picking the numbers. And if you can find it and you have an algorithm, which is basically all I'm trying to do is borrow someone's algorithm for a moment.
Okay. And JJ, write those down. We'll get the record tomorrow. Hey, I don't know if you and Elise have a futon, but it looks like Michael's moving in there in Des Moines with his little plays here. Can you imagine?
I got a spare room for both you guys. You're always welcome.
Can you imagine? Imagine pulling out the futon and old Lombardi coming in with the gabagool. Let's do a couple of things. One, you know, the COVID angle that we've been monitoring here. Can we talk about a game tonight? Colorado State's on the bubble. I know this is a little off the beaten path, but they've been on a break here and they're hosting Air Force. I bring it up because teams returning from a 14-plus day layoff, Michael, they're 43.9% as far as ATS. So they're 69-88-3. Colorado State falls into that category here. And Josh, as you know, they're a bubble team. If we could take a look at that number again, those teams coming off the
extent. But that number was ridiculous, Patrick. I looked at that game and everybody's betting Air Force. This was almost a Caruso play for me. It started in this morning when I was working on it, but the line, and I saw 18 and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This something's wrong here. And now it's creeping down to 17. It was 18.5. Now it's set. And there's some places you can get 17. So that 85% of the money, 85% of the money is on Air Force.
It's a
God
wild
bless you
one.
If you do that.
It's a wild one because, Josh, they haven't played in 3 weeks. Colorado State on the bubble here.
Exactly. And we've seen, you know, this is kind of one of the conundrums all year long. How do bettors react to these teams coming off breaks? I think you hear from a lot of people different angles here. But I think overall, we're starting to see this trend that maybe you do want to bet against these teams. Maybe they're rusty. Maybe they haven't practiced. Maybe they're still dealing with the effects of COVID if it's hit coaches or players. So I'm with you, Michael and Patrick. This one, it was Colorado State -18.5, -19 at one point. It's now down to 18. You love that Air Force 5-17 and Colorado State 14-4. I mean, you look at these two records and it's like, man, Colorado will easily win by, you know, 20 points or more. But but this line is dropping. And what Michael mentioned, you love the fact that this is a very low bet game. Again, we have so many great matchups today. Air Force Colorado State is not really one that you are excited to bet on, but it does look like sharps. If they have power ratings, and they say, oh, this should be a, you know, a 16 point game. So getting points with the 19, 18.5, 18 would have some value. So I'm with you guys. Air Force, little movement here.
I'm a sucker for this Illini basketball team this year, and I'm a little shocked they're in Wisconsin. Let's go Madison here, Josh. Looks like Wisconsin's getting bet big time. Open 3.5. It's up to 5.5 with Wisconsin laying it hosting Illinois.
Yeah, great
four
point
and a half
here, Patrick.
I'm sorry, Josh, to interrupt. We have 4.5 here, no. But I'm seeing 5.5 at a couple of books.
You're right, Patrick. This thing is climbing here. And I think this is one of those plays where, to me, everything I believe in, all my founding philosophies, the play is Wisconsin. Now, with that being said, Wisconsin has let us down many times as the sort of team where they've been in these sharp spots that haven't come through. But I don't think you should abandon teams in this spot. I think this is a play that you make when you see it, because we're seeing here Illinois, 8-1 last 9, 17-6, fifth in the country. Wisconsin, 16-8, ranked 23rd here. They beat Northwestern, finally won a game. They actually started 9-2. They've only been 7-6 since the new year. You know, they've been a 500 team. But guys, this opening line speaks volumes to me. Wisconsin open -3.5. They're all the way up to 5. We even saw 5.5 there, Patrick. So even though, you know, it looks like Illinois is the play, the line's moving to Wisconsin. The big thing here, the elephant in the room, is the star player for Illinois, Ayo Dosunmu. This guy's going to be one of the top players. Yeah, stud. He's got triple doubles all the time. He broke his nose, and he's not playing here. So we do know these Big Ten home favorites in conference play, 58-20 straight up. That would be a money line play, 74%. So this is one of those plays where it's like Illinois, they're missing their stud, but you still think they're a good team. Grab the points, be at the lines moving Wisconsin. So maybe, Michael, what do you think? Does Wisconsin finally show up, or are they a team that is just so tough and maddening to back?
You know, without the best player, and I wasn't even going to attempt to announce to say his name. I wasn't even going to attempt it, okay? I was just going to say their best player's not playing, you know. But, you know, I think without the best player on the road, I think that's a hard – again, I think this is a custard game for Wisconsin. I think this is one of those they got to have, right? I mean, this is their moment. And, you know, look, Illinois is the second-best defensive team in the Big Ten. They're the third-best offensive team in the Big Ten. I mean, Illinois has got a lot of things going for them. But that man that I can't pronounce his name, that's what really goes for him. You know, he's one of the best players in the conference. To me, I think it's hard to go with Illinois when he's not playing.
Yeah, polar opposites. Wisconsin can't score. Illinois fills it up at will. Okay, you got a minute here, Josh, and then we'll continue with this. But I want to set up some themes today, NBA. Is there anything in particular you're looking at? And then we'll get to you in the next hour and finish off with the capping of the NBA.
Yeah, so two things to keep an eye out for. The New York Knicks at home against the Pacers. Knicks are getting hit a little bit here. The Pacers have struggled, lost 3 of 4. The Knicks are actually 5-2, and they added Derrick Rose. You know, Thibodeau's got that team playing better. Again, that was kind of a -1 Pacers to now a pick. Some books are trending toward a -1 Knicks, so Knicks are getting a little bit of sneaky value here. And then, guys, if you like betting overs, rooting for points, we got two really high total overs to keep an eye out for. You got the Timberwolves and the Wizards and the Pelicans and the Spurs. The Timberwolves and Wizards open 235, very high. It's up to 237.5. Pelicans Spurs, 229 to 231.5. And these totals, 230 or higher, 56% to the over. So you think it's so high, I got to go under. But these ones have been flying over, you know, 129, 124 games here.
Check out the write-ups daily in the daily newsletter, which is free. Go to VSiN.com, put your email address in. Nobody does it better than Josh Applebaum. Josh, we'll see you in the next hour. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Josh.
Coming up next, I don't know if Millie and Michael have been hanging out with Sierra and Russell Wilson, but the rumors are they have been. That's the power couples.
Listen to him.
We'll come
Such
back.
A novelist.
We'll come back with some news on Russell. Let's go. It's Lombardi Line.